Welcome to Kingdom Life Radio. This is Kenny Hebert. This coming Sunday is known as Palm Sunday. And traditionally, there's usually a focus on the triumphal entry of Jesus coming into Jerusalem on a donkey. Today, we're going to look at that story, but that's at the end. What I want to do is take some time to look at an event just prior to Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And it's a story of Jesus healing a blind man. It's from Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 52. And we'll look at that healing and see what it can teach us. And then we'll close out with the reading of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Well, let's start with reading Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52. And they came to Jericho, and they being the disciples and Jesus. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. The story that's recorded here in Mark starts with this man named Bartimaeus. He's a blind beggar, and he's sitting beside the road that leads out of Jericho. Bartimaeus is probably in his usual spot where he would spread out his cloak and he'd settle into his the familiar routine that daily he was there begging. See, the blind that were begging would sit along the side of the road and with their cloaks spread out in front of them. And as they heard people walking by, they would beg for their survival, crying out, "Alms for the poor, alms for the poor." And hoping that there would be those would show pity and give them something to help in their survival. This is all that their life consisted of, day in and day out, just sitting beside that roadside begging for survival. And then not only that, they probably were made to feel cursed, that they were an annoyance or expendable. They really were made to feel like they had no value economically for the community or power. And they were also probably seeing that they could never be a part of God's plan. Maybe that's how you feel. Even as I'm talking to you, you're listening to this, you feel you don't have the value. You feel maybe you're not part of God's plan. Maybe you feel like you're expendable. Well, I've got good news for you today. Listen to the rest of the story. You know, Jesus, who is heading down the road to Jerusalem to give his life on the cross, is walking by at this moment. And from Bartimaeus' actions in this story, which we'll get to, it's obvious that he must have heard stories about Jesus. Some kind of reputation that preceded Jesus to showing up that day. So he's heard about him. He's probably heard Jesus doesn't turn anyone away. He's a friend of sinners and outcasts. He's quick to forgive. He's quick to show mercy and grace. He heals and he sets free. He even touches and heals the leper. He makes the lame to walk. And Bartimaeus has probably heard the stories that he's already restored the sight of those who are blind. So maybe Bartimaeus, having heard all these stories, he's imagined during this season of his life what it would be like to meet Jesus and to be healed by him like others have. In verse 47, it says Bartimaeus is sitting there and he's beside the road, right? And all of a sudden he hears a crowd that's coming. And he gets ready, like normal, to cry out, alms for the poor, alms for the poor. And all of a sudden he hears Jesus is passing by. And he realizes this is his chance. And he begins to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he's hoping to get Jesus' attention. And guess what? The crowd starts to rebuke him. See, it tells you a lot about them, how they value him. Here's the one man that could cure him, and they're concerned about just shutting him up. See, they saw him as a nuisance, and maybe they saw him as insignificant and not worth being bothered with. And they may have been even opposed to what they're hearing Bartimaeus shout, because guess what he's saying? He's saying, Jesus, Son of David. It really is an acknowledgement that he's making that Jesus is the promised Messiah King, the deliverer that was to come to rescue and deliver God's people. Whatever the reason, they're telling him to stop it, to be quiet, to stop calling out to Jesus. So no matter what the reason, they're always, just remember, there's always going to be those voices. Voices from within us and voices from without that will be trying to silence you or us, me, and to stop us from crying out and finding hope and wholeness in Christ. These kind of voices, they come as shame, they come as guilt, they come as fear, regret, feeling worthless. You're not good enough. You missed your chance. You'll never amount to anything. You can never be a part of God's plan. But there's good news. There is someone passing by who can silence all those voices. So be like Bartimaeus. See, Bartimaeus was not going to miss his chance. Jesus was passing by, and he was not going to be denied from getting Jesus' attention. So he cried out even more intensely. And I'm not going to do it now, but I could just see him shouting out even louder, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He was not going to be silenced. He saw his opportunity and his hope. It was coming his way. In verse 49, in the midst of the crowd and all the commotion and all the noise that's going on, guess who hears him? Jesus hears the cry of faith, the cry of desperation and dependence. And it stops Jesus in his tracks and gets his attention. It always does. And Jesus tells them, call him, invite him. Reminds me of a couple of Psalms. I want to read a couple of Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves the crushed in spirit. And then there's also Psalm 113, 4 through 8. And this one I'm going to read from the NIV. This is one of my favorite sections of the Psalm. It says, the Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who sits enthroned on high? You think that would be all of it, like, you know, who's like him, right? But that's not really what the psalmist is making a point of. You know what's why he's so different is because he's a God who sits enthroned on high, and no one is like him, because he's not only that high, but he also starts in verse 6, he's the one who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth. He raises the poor from the dust, and he lifts the needy from the ash heap, and he seats them with princes and with the princes of his people. See, Bartimaeus knows he's the Son of David. He cries out for him, and he's looking in hopes that he's the God on high, who not only sits on high, but he comes down and he stoops down for someone like him, someone like me and you, that will come to him in his time of need. So imagine all those voices that were trying to silence Bartimaeus. and at Jesus' voice, they are all silenced. The kingdom of God has broken in. The God who sits on high has decided to stop and to stoop and help the needy out of the dust and out of the ash heap. And in that moment, the crowd parts between Bartimaeus and Jesus, just like the Red Sea. And though Bartimaeus, he can't see the crowd, he can't see every eye at this moment that now is on him with a sense of anticipation and wonder what's about to happen. The disciples then say to Bartimaeus, "Take heart, be encouraged. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Get up, arise. Jesus is calling you. He's inviting you." Can you imagine Bartimaeus? Can you imagine being him? Can you imagine the crowd watching Bartimaeus, what he may be thinking, what he may be feeling, all the stories of Jesus that he's heard, the secret dream and hopes he had or has of meeting and encountering Jesus and being healed by him. And now he's thinking, Jesus is calling to me to come to him. He's inviting me to himself. Is this really happening to me? And it says, Bartimaeus throws off his cloak and springs up and he comes to Jesus. Now this is, you know, some parts of this, you know, throwing off the cloak and springing up and coming to Jesus. I want to look at these in segments here and little thoughts from each one. It says Bartimaeus throws off his cloak. It may not seem like much, but you have to understand for Bartimaeus as a blind beggar, his cloak is all he has. It's a part of who he is. The cloak is a symbolic identification of who he was and where he was, a blind beggar beside the road, insignificant, invisible to the people, invisible to God, who had no value to others and never could be a part of God's plan. That's what that cloak was identifying him with, that blind beggar and all that went with it. And see, he takes it and he casts it aside. See, he knows once he meets Jesus, he will no longer be a blind beggar. And that his future holds much more than what he ever was or ever had. Something to remember here. We cannot walk into the future of what God has prepared for us while we're clinging to who we were and where we were. We need to throw aside what keeps us on the side of the road so we can get on and stay on the same road Jesus is on. It reminds me of another scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. Bartimaeus is about to become a new creation. He's about to have the old passed away and all that goes with it, and to become somebody new because of what Jesus has done in him. And it says he sprang up. He leaped up. There's a sense probably of excitement, anticipation of something new was upon him. He may not have really knew what it all entails, but his life is about to change and it would not be tied to that old identity. And he comes to Jesus. See, he had to be willing to come, to be willing to move away from something or somewhere and move forward toward a someone, a person, Jesus. And he comes to Jesus. And Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" Bartimaeus responds, calling Jesus a rabbi, a title of dignity. It signifies, "You're my master." Good start for Bartimaeus, understanding who Jesus was and who he was. Bartimaeus, unlike the disciples did. See, the disciples, earlier story from last week, they asked for power and position, but Bartimaeus, he's asking for a cure. He's not settling for the things and the ways of the world. He's looking for the treasure of heaven, Jesus himself. And Jesus responds, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well. Go your way." Jesus is saying, you are free to go on your way, to do your own thing, to pursue your own ambitions, to chase after whatever you want. You can go your way now. You're healed. And it says that Bartimaeus recovered his sight immediately and followed Jesus on the way. So even though Jesus says, you can go your own way, you can go do your own thing. Your faith has healed you. You're whole now. You can go do your own thing. See, I'm heading to the cross. I'm heading to giving my life as a ransom for others. That's the way I go. That's the way I do things. And it says Bartimaeus, instead of going his own way and choosing his own things, instead he walks away from his own personal way. He doesn't just leave his old identity behind. He leaves the way of pursuing the things that all the other people were pursuing, because he has found the treasure and he gets off the side of the road. It doesn't choose a different road than Jesus, but he joins and follows Jesus on the way of Jesus, in the way Jesus was going. Humility and giving your life in service for the sake of others. Okay, now let's look at the triumphal entry. Let's read that from Mark 11, verse 1 through 10. Mark 11, 1 through 10 reads, "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem," talking about Jesus and the disciples and the crowd. "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, 'Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say the Lord has need of it and will send it back here immediately.' And they went away and they found a colt tied at the door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw the cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.'" In the Gospel of Mark, Mark goes from the healing of Bartimaeus, which we just talked about, and Bartimaeus joining Jesus on the way, where Jesus entered into the life of Bartimaeus, and Bartimaeus entered into the life of Jesus in his way. And it goes from that to the triumphal entry of Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a colt and a donkey. You see, Jesus sends his disciples to find a colt tied up and to untie him and to bring him to Jesus, because Jesus needs the donkey or the colt to ride into the town. See, this can be seen as a picture of the church, of followers of Jesus, a picture of you and of me who need to be untied from the things that blind us. We need to be healed of the things that have blinded us and sidelined us and kept us on the side of the road and not joined to Jesus and going his way. You see, Jesus is looking to ride upon our life on the way into our Jerusalem, our town, our community, our workspace, our family settings, so others can see and recognize Jesus for who he really is, and that his kingdom rule may break into our space and time. And as Jesus rides upon our life, he wants you and me to be his voice of invitation to those who are on the side of the road, just like the disciples did with Bartimaeus. Just as they cried out, "Take heart, arise, Jesus is calling you." Now Jesus wants a ride upon your life and you to be that same voice to say to the others, "Take heart, arise, Jesus is calling you." Maybe as you've heard me share this story and this event here, it's stirring your heart. And maybe for a season you have felt like you have been sitting on the side of the road, sidelined. And now you realize it's time to get back on the road. Maybe you were, maybe you've never, had faith in Christ. And this is new to you. You've heard the stories about who he is, what he's done. And you're wondering if he can do those same things in your life. The answer is yes. Maybe you've been a follower of Jesus and you've kind of gotten sidelined for a season, struggling with who you are and who you've become. Well, Jesus is calling you. Arise. Take heart. He's calling you. It's time to cast aside that cloak, that old identity, and no longer to be beside the road, and get back on the road with Jesus. It's simply responding, springing up, and coming to him. See, the coming to him is the hard part. Well, not really the hard part. It can be a struggle, because it means we have to acknowledge that we've been off the road. But when we understand his heart for us, his love for us, that he's the God who comes, who is high and lifted up, but who sees us upon the earth, and he comes to where we are to lift us out of the dust, then we can come to him and recognize him. It's a time to come to him right now. And I encourage you to do that. Take heart. Arise. Jesus is calling you. He's passing by right now, even as you're listening to this program. And know this, he will hear your cries for mercy. It's time to set aside who you were, where you were, and to arise and come to Jesus and join him in what he's inviting you to now. It's not just to find wholeness. It's also to join him on the way, to humble yourself and be like the colt he untied. Now that you've been untied, allow him to ride into your Jerusalem, into your town, into your community, into your workspace, into your family setting, and be that voice that cries out, "Take heart, arise. Jesus is calling to you also." Well, that's it for today. If you're interested in listening to this program or sharing with others, you can find it on my website at letyourkingdomcome.com. That's letyourkingdomcome.com. That's it for today. You have a great week. And also, before I forget, a special speaker joining me next week to talk about the resurrection as we are into Easter week. God bless you.